Wasting the Shaw with me, Joel Clayfish, on 101 FM, The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM. And we're talking South Africa safari hunting with Bill Freemouth in the studio and Matt Eubanks, who brought a flintlock to South Africa. Matt, you're calling from the middle of Florida. What's going on? What did you think about South Africa?
Man, for a little bit, I can hear you. South Africa was great. I'm glad I went. The hunt of a lifetime. Everyone should go and try it at least once.
Now, you want to talk about different backgrounds. You know, you've got Joel from the background of television news and politics. Bill Freemouth is a home builder. Matt Eubanks is a rancher from the middle of Florida. I think one of the things that's most important is that anybody can go to South Africa and have an unbelievable time. You don't have to be a diehard hunter. You don't have to spend a fortune. You don't even have to be a hunter to really enjoy it, do you?
I don't believe so. I mean, anybody, like you said, the beauty of the place is well worth the trip alone. And, you know, like you said, the culture, the food, the scenery, hands down, just a good place to go and visit. You wouldn't even have to go there on hunting at all. Just safari would be suffice. I mean,
yeah, it's beautiful.
You gotta see it.
One of the reasons we went this last time was that I was shooting an Egyptian goose hunt. Now, you can't hunt Egyptian geese in Wisconsin or really many places in the United States. There really is not a population of Egyptian geese here. But Egyptian geese are kind of prevalent in South Africa. So as a waterfowl guy, and Bill, you're a waterfowl guy. I mean, we're those guys who overthink it, our decoy spreads, our calling. But I thought, you know, for the fowl life, for provider TV, I thought it'd be pretty awesome to go to South Africa and do an Egyptian goose hunt. And so we did, and we were teamed up with a Diafon, who was our guide for the goose hunt. And I have to say, what struck me is that waterfowl hunting in South Africa is a burgeoning sport. It's basically brand new. Nobody does it, really. So it was like if you took waterfowl hunting in the United States and went back to the 50s or 60s, you know, what was your take on it when we're setting out shell decoys first morning?
It was exactly like you said, a step back in time. You know, we, like you said, we tend to overthink it, and nothing ever seems to be perfect, and the first sign of failure, we're ready to change everything in the spread. When we got there and just seeing what we were working with, I mean, a step back in time. I mean, they're uneducated birds, and apparently, you know, what they do works. We shot geese that way. With a guy that would have knowledge of, you know, a lot of history of bird hunting and went there with the right setup, you'd massacre them. I mean, I don't know that there would be as many there once this really catches on and, you know.
But let me evolve. Just try to explain. They don't even have a call for Egyptian geese.
Right.
I mean, I said, all right, what kind of call? I was fascinated to see what kind of calling we were going to do. There's not even a call for Egyptian geese. So I was trying to make an Egyptian goose sound with my Canada goose call, and I'm only mediocre to begin with on a Canada goose call, but we go out the first day, and essentially the guide puts some old shell decoys, half of them were like speckle belly goose decoys,
yep,
shells, big shells,
magnums,
super magnums, and kind of put them in a circle,
right?
And we sat in a blind that was completely visible, you know, over the top,
just a pile of thorns is all it was.
With some really, really intriguing. And we got Matt back on the line. I can hear him laughing down there. But that was something else. Just to have that experience, waterfowl hunting in South Africa, it was very primitive hunting. And we were in the middle of the field in these thorny
acacia tree
yeah, blinds. And they could see us when they flew over the top of us.
Oh, wide open.
It was an interesting. And Matt, did you expect what we ended up doing in South Africa to be the waterfowl hunting experience?
I did not, because I'm not a waterfowler, but I knew like how y'all laid down in the field. I thought we were all going to lay down in the field together and blast them when they flew over, and we had to sit in these little huts and you couldn't move around a lot because they'd see you and you, or you'd get poked by thorns. So yeah, it was an experience for me.
And down there, waterfowl hunting is much more about positioning people in the different fields they use. So first of all, there are very limited fields that they use in their alfalfa, what they call alfalfa. It's really more like marsh grass.
Mix of marsh grass hay, and stuff.
Mixed grasses, some clover. And they position people in the four or five different fields in an area so that when the birds go to that field, you shoot at them, then they bounce to a different field, and then someone else shoots at them.
Ping pong.
It's waterfowl ping pong. But I guess the thing that I learned about it is that it's really neat because it got to feel like what hunting waterfowl must have been like for our grandparents and great-grandparents when they had a few, you know, I've heard stories of decorating tires, you know, to set out there as Canada geese and what it must have been like very early on in the burgeoning days, because now we've got fully flocked decoys. We've got calls that sound just like Canada geese and ducks. We've got, it's competitive for all the fields. Down there, those birds are still not educated to the scene. Up here, they're so smart, they can fly 100 yards from the decoys and say, that's not real geese in the field, I'm turning around and heading out of here.
Yeah, more times it doesn't work than it does work. But I will tell you this, as a father and a mentor to young hunters, you couldn't ask for a better scenario to get youth or even new hunters into waterfowl hunting than what they got going on there. There's action. You don't have to put a lot of effort into it. You don't need thousands of dollars into a spread. I mean, you literally could go out there and have the time of your life and show, you know, a new hunter or a youth hunter what waterfowl hunting should be like versus, you know, your public land around here where you got to be there 6 hours before the sun comes up to beat 12 other people. And then you're just all competing for the same one flock of mallards that might fly over during the day. So,
you know, I'm not afraid on the show to talk about some of the controversial issues. And one of the controversial issues that I hear quite a bit, a criticism for people who go to South Africa or go to Africa to hunt is, oh, you're a trophy hunter. You just care about getting that skin and that trophy on the wall.
Yeah, the photo.
The photo, yeah. Right. I want to talk about the fact that that is absolutely the opposite of what is going on in South Africa. I can't speak for the rest of the countries in the continent of Africa, but conservation is of utmost importance in those areas. And I think some people have the misconception because the animals are so exotic looking and so beautiful. And if you do preserve that as a mount on the wall, they say, oh, all you care about is putting a mount on your wall. That's not the case at all.
Right.
That is not the case at all. In fact, every bit of meat is utilized from every animal that is harvested there, and only the numbers of animals are harvested which contribute to the conservation of that species, very similar to managing deer populations in the state of Wisconsin. 600,000 people go out on opening day of gun deer season here in Wisconsin, the Orange Army.
Yeah.
And people understand that they're going to eat that venison, and they could put the horns on the wall. But that is what's happening in South Africa, and maybe even to a more honorable extent, because we ate the game we killed every day. And when I talk about, you want to talk about delicious, all of the species of plains game animals, most of the species of plains game animals are antelope of some sort. And we had tenderloins on the barbecue at night, and it was some of the most tender, most delicious, you know, non-gamey tasting meat I've ever had. You know, Matt, how did it compare to the stuff you're cooking up down in Florida? Did you enjoy the food there?
Yes, the tenderloins, top notch. The only thing I could compare it to, and it's still better, is elk and axis deer, and it's still better than both of those.
Yeah,
To touch back on the geese real quick, the only thing I could compare the goose hunt to that I've done is dove hunting. To when you're just keep them flying so you can, you know, to shoot them. That's about all I could compare that goose hunt to was dove hunting.
It is
for
very,
me. But
yeah. It is very different. It is very different. The food, you know.
Yes, but
We're going to come back and we're going to talk about food, and then we're going to wrap it up with Bill and my crazy trip home, which you have to hear to believe. But Matt, thank you for joining us on the show, and I can't wait to see you again in real life, and I know we're going to be hunting together at some point in the future. We'll be back with the last quarter of Raised in the Shaw with me, Joel Clayfish. You're listening to 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dime is a dime, need a new gown. She won't mind, tell me how long do I have.